The new interim vice president for student affairs, and a cheerleading coaching couple. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the news and communications director. Thanks for joining us here on Tennessee Tech Today, where we take an in-depth look at what's happening with students, faculty, staff, research, and events on campus. Well, the spring semester is underway, and there is a new vice president for student affairs. After Mark Burnett retired in December, Robert Owens was named as interim vice president for student affairs. Owens has been the assistant vice president for student affairs and oversees the university's diversity scholarship, multicultural affairs, service learning, and race program. He holds 4 degrees from Tech, including a PhD in exceptional learning. He joined the university as a full-time employee in 2006 and will serve as interim during Tech's national search for a permanent replacement for Burnett. We caught up with Rob before the semester started to get his take on his new position. And Dr. Rob Owens joins us now. And, well, last time we talked to you, Rob, of course, you were Associate Vice President for Student Affairs. Now you're the Interim Vice President taking over for Mark Burnett. How has the transition been the past month or so?
It has been, I would suggest, has been fairly smooth. One, because this is my home institution. You know, all my degrees come from Tennessee Tech. Two, because I've been in student affairs since I came back here to work. Not work on the academic side of the campus. I've always been here in the student affairs division, sort of progressed up within this division. And so that has helped the transition. And got a great team of folks in student affairs, some phenomenal folks, dean of students, and all of the directors that are in the division as well, from health services to accessible education office to fitness center and campus recreation. And you go down the list, residential life, counseling center, and I started this list and now I don't want to leave anybody out. Campus police, service learning center. Multicultural affairs. We've got great folks in the division, and so I'm not coming into this role with a broken division, if you will. I come into a role with some great professionals, and then the staff that I work with directly on a day-to-day basis. We already have known each other very well for several years. And I believe they're comfortable with me, and I'm comfortable with them. They're great, great folks to work with. So I would say that all of those things have worked to make the transition fairly smooth for me. The biggest adjustment for me is just it's a different role.
Yeah.
The decisions that are made at a VP level are decisions that affect change directly. Mm-hmm. And so. You've got to understand that what you say or decisions that you make carry a lot of weight and can affect a number of people. I embrace that, but that is a different role, more a broader role than what I had been previously. And there's some things, as much as I was involved in the division as an assistant VP, there are still things that I did not know, and so I'm learning as well. So I started doing a lot of reading and spending time with folks that are in the division. Again, whom most of them I know. I know all of them fairly well because we've been working together for a while. But really getting in with them and figuring out how their areas work at a different level, figuring out what their desires are, what their needs are. So there are some challenges, but I'm sort of I guess going to school this first month or so, but I can't. I've got to reiterate, it's been a great transition, and I'm just thankful for the folks that I get to work with. President, his staff have been great as well. Cabinet, everybody's opened themselves up to me as a new person, I guess, at the executive level. So everybody's been great.
I know you've worked closely with Mark Burnett, who was in this role for a long time.
Yes.
Did he give you any advice before? I keep expecting to see him when the semester starts. You know, he says he's retired. I'll finally believe it when he doesn't show up on campus. But so was he able to give you any advice on, you know, hey, man, this is what you need to do or this is what you need to watch out for?
Yeah, one of the pieces of advice that I take from Mark is let people work. You hire good people, and then you let them work. And we talked about the fact that we have good people in our division, and so you're already starting ahead of the curve, if you will. And I agree with Mark and agreed with him in those conversations, and I agree with him now because I've, I've spent time with our group in staff meetings or whatnot already. But just working alongside them, I know they know their work. They're great professionals. So that's one piece of advice. Another one is to sit back and watch, not just within the division, but you sit back, you watch people, you watch how people interact, you watch things transpire, and then after watching and contemplating, then you make your moves. He's always given good advice to me. I think the most important thing for me is just being able to have worked with Mark,
yeah,
and have had him as my boss and colleague for several years. You get a lot by osmosis when you're around somebody great. Just being around them, you sort of get what's good from that person. And I can certainly say that about Mark Burnett. I've been privileged to have worked with him for many years and watch how he operates and watch how he administrates. And I think I'm better for it. I think it's going to help me as a leader on this campus.
And we know that Mark has stayed on as the chief diversity officer, and that has always been something that he has always strived for at this university. As you have working in multicultural affairs, yeah. Where do you see Tennessee Tech on a diverse level, and where do we need to go? And is there anything that in this position that you can do about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We have opportunity to do a lot more. I believe that within the last 6 months or so, we've taken great strides from Mark Burnett being appointed as Chief Diversity Officer to the appointment of the first black board member for the university to, we're at about $1.2 million in our diversity scholarship fundraising initiative. And I think all those things speak to our leadership's understanding of the importance of diversity and inclusion. And, yeah, I think it's important that we have someone to fill the role of Chief Diversity Officer moving forward in a full-time capacity. Even if Mark does come back and serve in that capacity, that is a position that I believe needs to be filled permanently for years and years and years to come. Someone that has authority, if you will, VP level. So that's one area I know that's very important. And we want to get to $2 million with this diversity scholarship campaign. We know that those dollars are going to help diversify our student body. And to be honest with you, I'd love to see us go far beyond that $2 million goal. And I think we can do that. We've had a lot of momentum within the last 6, 9 months, a year, with that initiative, some good, solid, significant gifts. And we saw an uptick with this retirement tour that we did, where we went to various cities where we got high concentrations of Tech alumni and sort of featured Mark in his, swan song, if you will. and people just love Mark Burnett. And so we really saw some significant gifts even within the last couple of months of 2019. And so I believe that there's a lot of room to progress forward in terms of student diversity because of these dollars that we're raising. And I also think it's important that we continue to push for diversity, folks of color, women at the top level of the institution in terms of decision makers, the dean level, at the even the chair level within our academic colleges, within the president's cabinet. I think it's important to have good representation. I think it makes, I think we make better decisions when we have diverse thought. And so we can continue to make strides in that area as well. Also within our faculty, you know, we don't have a very diverse faculty, if you will. And I think that's another area that we can continue to grow in. But all those things are things that can be pushed forward with someone that sort of has diversity and inclusion and equity as their job, which a chief diversity officer does and would. So great strides made, but there's a lot more that we can do to make our campus and our region more productive place, yeah, if you will.
Now, when President Oldham was presenting you to the Board of Trustees, talking about how you were going to fill Mark Burnett's position, yeah, he mentioned that you were just there on an interim basis, that that's you right, did not want to officially apply for the job. Yeah. Now, why is that?
Well, I don't deny my faith. And so I prayerfully considered what the next step needed to be for me. But that it's been a family decision, and a lot of prayer went into that. And I felt like I would be good in the interim role, just because of my time at the institution, the camaraderie that I feel like I have within our division, particularly the staff that's here in student affairs, and really make a good segue into whoever it is that's going to that we're going to select as a full-time person. And I also have an interest in diversity stuff as well. I don't know what the future is going to hold for me. And I don't know that it is not to continue in student affairs in some capacity. And I don't know if I'm, you know, going to head in more of the diversity type career path in higher ed. But again, I just felt like I needed to be here in the interim to help our institution move forward, and not just be a placeholder. You know, I've been here for a long time, and I've got a lot of ideas about student affairs and how it fits into the fabric of our institution, and some creative ideas on how to serve students and help students grow and be more successful. And I think as interim, I'm one of the folks that could get some things done, yeah, in the meantime,
sure,
and not just be a placeholder again, because I've sat and I've watched and I've got ideas, and so I'm excited about sort of being the person that gets to bridge the gap,
yeah,
but us not tread water,
yeah,
if you will. You know, my idea is that I'm the person that can help us progress the division forward,
right,
and leave it in a good place for the next person. And I will say this, search committees and search processes in higher education, they're interesting beasts.
They're not fast.
No, no. And so we throw that interim title on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're ballparking and saying, well, I mean, it may be 6 months. Maybe by the start of the fiscal year, we'll have someone in here. We just never know how these things work out. You know, it could be a situation where we don't find the person that we feel like is going to fit best here at Tennessee Tech. And there's another search. It could be a situation where the search takes 3 months longer. So, you know, we're spitballing and saying 6 months, but it could go longer than that.
Sure.
And I'm most certainly, again, to respond to your question, I'm comfortable being here longer than 6 months because I'm comfortable here at Tech, and excited about the opportunity to move the institution forward. So hope that sort of answers the question.
Dr. Rob Owens, the interim vice president for student affairs. Quickly, the spring semester is about ready to start. Do you have any goals, anything that you want to see happen in student affairs this semester?
Well, there's some things that are already in the hopper, if you will. And a lot of it revolves around residential life. We've got one building. It's Cooper and Dunn building over in our Capitol Quad that is already offline. And construction is going to, well, it's being renovated. And it'll be the fourth and final building that's renovated in Capitol Quad. And hopeful that we'll be ready to move our students back into that building at the start of fall 2020 semester. So we're excited about that. And there's some other large-scale work that's taking place within that quad that's going to make life a little bit better over that side of campus. So I'm excited about that and getting all those buildings renovated. Our residential dwellings on campus pretty much are going to be fairly new. I think the oldest building that we're going to have outside of Crawford Hall will be Newhall South, which came out of the ground, a decade and a half ago. And so that's fairly new. And so that's exciting. And then obviously, if you enter campus on the Willow side, you know that the sort of the skyscape has changed. The old pawn shop that was there has been gone for a while. And we have what will be the largest building on campus once it's completed, the fitness center, that's until the science building is completed, that sits on the corner. And that's a student affairs facility, if you will, if you can say that. Our new fitness center is going to come online. And folks will be able to check that out late in the spring semester. So we're certainly excited about that and all that our fitness center folks have planned that's going to be new that we've not had the capacity to do in the old fitness center. So, man, again, the Res Life stuff and the fitness center, that is those things are top priorities for me. That I'm really excited about, getting to sit in this seat to watch the completion of our renovations with our residential halls, but also to get us into that fitness center. And I'm just really giddy over having the opportunity to walk into that new building, see some of these things happen. And one of the things that I personally plan on doing is spending some time I was already doing some of this in the fall, spending time in the cafeteria. Just sitting and eating with students. And I plan on doing some of that this semester as well in the new RUC edition. I guess we call it Swoops now, where Chick-fil-A and Starbucks and all that is. Just to sit and watch students interact and spend time talking to students, meeting students. I think the best way to serve any people is by sitting amongst them. Getting to know them and rub shoulders with them. And I've done that, but it's been on a smaller scale. So it is my plan to spend time unofficially and informally. Let me not say unofficially, but informally, just to sit amongst the students and get to know them in a deeper level. And I think that's going to inform some of the things that I would like to do on a larger scale for students moving forward in my time as Vice President for Student Affairs.
Rob Owens, Interim Vice President for Student Affairs. Thanks for being with us and looking forward to that new fitness center and just all the things that you've been talking about. It's going to be a great spring semester.
Yes, it is. Maybe we should name one of the many basketball courts the Buddy Pearson the Buddy Pearson Intramural Court.
It's a goal that you can never make a shot on. That's what it'll be.
Oh, thank you, Buddy, for your time. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, thanks.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher, early career salaries, Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Well, the Tennessee Tech men's and women's basketball teams have three upcoming home games, starting with an Ohio Valley Conference doubleheader on Saturday night against Eastern Kentucky, followed by a doubleheader with Belmont on Thursday, January 30th, and a two-game tilt against in-state rival Tennessee State on Saturday, February 1st. Well, at these doubleheaders, fans get a chance to enjoy routines and enthusiasm from Tech's cheer and dance teams, which are under the direction of the husband and wife duo of Monica and Micah Hartsfield, a pair of alums who were cheerleaders themselves at Tennessee Tech. And Micah and Monica Hartsfield, the coaches for the Tennessee Tech cheer and dance teams, are with us here on Tennessee Tech Today. And we'll go with ladies first. Monica, how did y'all become coaches of the Tennessee Tech cheer and dance team?
Well, it started as we were both just looking online, kind of like looking for, you know, what tech has been up to and what's going on campus. And it kind of took us to the jobs page, and we found out that the job was open. And being graduates of Tech, we were like, well, let's apply. And we'd coached our former college for 10 years, and it worked out where they liked us and brought us in.
Great. And so, Micah, what's it been like since you guys have taken over as the coach?
It's been great. It's like coming home. Both of us went to school here. We both graduated here. We actually, as cheesy as it sounds, we fell in love here. We started dating here on the cheer team. So it's been kind of nice. It's been like coming home. I love Cookeville. I love Tennessee Tech. So it's a great community to be a part of.
So you had coached cheer and dance before. Where was that at?
We coached at Martin Methodist College. That's in Pulaski, Tennessee. We were there just shy of a decade. We built that program from essentially nothing up to actually national champions. We won a national championship with them. So we're looking to do the same thing here with Tech. Obviously, we're not starting with nothing. We're starting with a very good program. But we are looking to take it to the next level for those national championships and that recognition globally, really.
So what were some of the goals coming in, coming back to your alma mater and taking over?
Really to up the level of the athletes in the program and up our game day. Game day is very important, as y'all know. I mean, like with Golden Eagle football and basketball, you know, we have a great game day vibe. We're just trying to make the community more aware of that and really get into supporting our team. And we compete in the game day category as a competition. So, you know, if you're doing it on the sidelines, that relay is a competition. And we also wanted to raise the program to where the athletes are proud, you know, to represent the school. And when they get done competing, to walk off that floor knowing they did everything they could. And we've really made those strides this year.
So I know you just got back from Nationals. Tell us a little bit about that and what happened in Orlando.
Nationals was, I would say, a very positive experience. We really enjoyed our time in Orlando this year. Every single team, when they walked off that mat, they were all very proud of themselves. And that was a great thing. One thing we got to accomplish this year that we haven't done before is our co-ed game day team. We made finals, and that's a big deal, the fact that we were able to do that. So we've raised the bar for Tennessee Tech, and we want to continue to do that as we go down to Nationals. Some great things, UCA and UDA. Both of those tweeted us images of our kids on the stage, so that was quite nice to see, you know, the national recognition for them. And just overall positive energy from all of our teams down there was nice. We have improvement to do, but that's okay. That's kind of what this game is about. So we're looking forward to going back next year and doing even better.
So has cheer and dance changed since you both were here at Tennessee Tech?
Oh, yes. By leaps and bounds. The sport just, it keeps evolving and gets more complicated and more difficult. And, you know, the judges are looking for more specific things when you compete. But, yeah, like, I know there's always the stigma of our cheerleaders and dancers, athletes. We invite any and everybody to our practices. Come see what we do. Come into our world. They are definitely athletes, and they work hard. But, yes, the evolution is very, very big.
Yeah, what do you see? What do you see as some of the big, you know, distinctions between your time and now?
Our time and now. One thing that's really big in cheerleading now that wasn't as big when we were here is tumbling. Like tumbling, when you get to actually when you're in high school, all star, and even the national level in collegiate competition, has been raised quite a bit. And that's one thing that we're actually looking at doing is trying to raise the level of tumbling here. As far as stunning obviously has gone up. But one thing, too, that I really like that Monica kind of touched on earlier is that UCA and UDA both are getting back more to the roots of cheerleading, and they're really encouraging that game day environment, because for a long time, collegiate competition was the focus of all these squads, and so everybody kind of got away from the sideline traditions. And one thing I really like seeing is those sideline traditions come back. We, even this year, we've been focusing on trying to push for that so much. We made a big push for homecoming, so I don't know if you realize, but we had a really great showing of our alumni, both cheer and dance, at, you know, the homecoming game this year, and that was quite nice to do that, because I love this school. I love the traditions here, and I want to see them all come back. And I love the alumni support. They seem to really like what we're doing. We even have, I guess you would call them legacies, on the team. We have a couple kids on the team right now that their parents were involved in the Spirit program here. Wow. When they were here. Yeah, so it's quite nice to see that we're all kind of in the family. We have support from the families. So that's one thing I like, is kind of that reconnection to the past. That is one thing that I think is going to help this program grow in the future.
Yeah. Now, Monica, where are you from originally, and what brought you to Tech?
I'm from McMinnville, Tennessee, and actually my dad went here, so I grew up knowing about Tech. And yeah, it was an easy decision for me when I graduated high school. It was like, I'm going to Tennessee Tech.
What did you get your degree in?
I've got a business degree with concentration in marketing. So.
Okay. Yeah. And Micah, what brought you to Tech?
I have no clue. I really don't. When I was in school.
Monica.
Well, I didn't know Monica before then. So I went to school, went to Columbia State for a couple of years. And then I really just needed another college to go to. And I don't know why I went to Tech. None of my friends really went to Tech. I had one friend from college that went here. So I asked him where I should go, and he suggested this place. And so I came up and visited. And it was actually during a snowstorm, so it was quite interesting. Went to a Tennessee Tech cheer practice. I liked it, so I decided to come up here. So, yeah.
And where are you from originally?
I am from Columbia, Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah, mule capital of the world.
There you go. And what did you get your degree in?
Same exact thing, business administration with emphasis in marketing. And just so you know, that was not because of each other. We were both already in the pursuit of that degree before we met.
Yeah. So how did you meet?
On the cheer team, Monica was my partner the first year, which I felt really sorry for because I was quite bad at cheerleading at that time. And she was very patient, which was nice. And we didn't date at all that first year. I was very awkward. I'm still very awkward, but we didn't date at all. And then as we went to the second year cheering here, you know, we weren't all longer partners. We had different partnerships. And I don't know, I just found her to be a very interesting person. So I, yeah, just started asking her if we could go out. And she told me yes, but then I'd have to wait 2 weeks, which I thought was a weird response. But at the point in time, she was actually involved in a sorority, and she was involved in a fraternity because she was a fraternity sweetheart. So I had asked her right before rush. Again, I was really awkward in college, and I didn't even realize it was rush. But she let me know. But then we went on our first date 2 weeks later, and that was great.
Yeah. So despite being awkward, you went ahead and went out with him anyway.
Yeah, bless his heart. No, I'm awkward too. I mean, we get it honest. So, but yeah, like, I guess his weirdness and my weirdness matched up. So we ran with it.
So what's it like coaching together?
It's actually a lot of fun. I mean, I know a lot of spouses that couldn't work together, but, I don't know, like, we don't really have a whole lot of head butting. We kind of pick a path and run with it, and we also like compliment each other well. So, you know, he might see something and I might say, well, have you looked at it this way, and vice versa. I don't know. It's pretty cool working with each other, honestly.
I enjoy it. I mean, one thing that Monica likes to say a lot is we divide and conquer. And I think that's really true. We pick our strengths and we go with that. Whatever it is, whether it be with the dance team, whether it be with the cheer team, whether it be with the mascot, we really just use our strengths, which we both have different strengths. And it's nice to see that, where we complement each other and we do work together well. And fortunately, that's good because we spend a lot of time together. So I really am happy that we work together well, because if not, it would be miserable. But we do. It's fun. I enjoy it.
Goals for the cheer and dance team?
Goals for the cheer and dance team. I think right now we're in a good spot after nationals. We want to increase numbers a little bit with all the programs. With the dance, we want to go up a little bit. With the all-girl cheer team, we want to go up a little bit numbers there. Co-ed, we want to recruit again there a little bit. And with mascot, again, we want to recruit a little bit there. So a couple more numbers all the way around. And what I want to see is really kind of the continued path of what we've been doing this year. This year we've been pushing those traditional values, but we've also been trying to do that with athlete development as well. So really, I feel like the path that we're on is good, really pushing that athlete development, pushing recruiting a little bit, but having all the teams remember that we can be good and have fun at the same time is one thing that we really try to push, because if they don't have fun, then what's the point of being here? And we want to make sure they enjoy their time at Tech, they enjoy their time with the Spirit program, and then they look back on the time here very fondly. So that's one thing that we're really trying to push. We've started that path, and really we just want to continue it.
Yeah. Anything you want to add to that?
Something else that we're definitely going to continue to foster is our relationship with the Drumline. We have one of the best drumlines in the business. They made the trip down to Nationals with us, and if you ever come to a football game, you know that during halftime, the Drumline and the dance team get together and do a performance, and it's great. The crowd loves it. Well, we decided to take some of that tradition down to Orlando, down to UCA, UDA with us, and let me tell you, those guys and Marco Sharippa are absolutely the best. They are the best support system. We had the strongest drumline down there, and we honestly, all three of us, Micah, myself, and Marco, are all planning for next year and what we're going to showcase at football games and what we're going to take down to Nationals. So that's exciting.
All right, sounds good. Monica and Micah Hartsfield, thanks for being with us on Tennessee Tech today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Wings up.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech for today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, and confident. Wings up, everybody.